Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't trade them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
And times were play and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. Steve, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than her, as his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved.
God's been good. In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good. In my life, I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, guys, and appreciate the work there. And I can say amen to that, can't you? Tell you one thing, he gifts us and graces us far than we deserve, way more than we deserve. And, you know, I think sometimes we look back, I think we'll all agree that God kind of gets shortchanged, doesn't he? From what, comparatively speaking, for what he does in and through or for us, compared to what we do in return for him. Well, we're going to finish this thing up. Y'all can handle one more, right? God's system of church finance. Now, for those of you that are visiting, I think I ran off everybody that visited Sunday night. They come to church one time, the first thing the preacher talks about is money. You know, I didn't want to disappoint them. And we've been learning, starting last Wednesday night, part one, and then Sunday night, part two. And tonight I'm going to finish up with just some basic things. I know for most of you that will seem really basic, elementary, but I want to make sure that that we're all clear and understanding God's system of church finance, how it's operated, and then how it operates through this church, the Trinity Baptist Church, and how we go about distributing the funds of God's people through their tithes and through their offerings. So go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, please. Turn with me to Malachi 3, and then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Malachi 3, let's go ahead and take a look there. Malachi 3 and verse number 10. All right, let's stand together. Malachi 3, 1 Corinthians 14. The Scripture says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, Sunday night, I had you circle that word storehouse, draw a line out in your Bible, and I want you to write the New Testament church. Now, the thing about it is, in the Old Testament, we realize, and one of the things that we've learned, that God says in Old Testament, we find out that they brought the tithes and they brought the offerings into the house of God. And we know that the house of God was represented through the tabernacle and through the temples. And we believe now that that storehouse represents the local New Testament church. Remember, we looked at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, how that the Scripture taught us there. Remember, Paul told Timothy, he said, I'm writing you so that you might know how to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church. And so he identified what the house of God was in the New Testament, which is the same terminology he used for the tabernacle and the temple, the house of God in the Old Testament. So we believe without question that the Old Testament principles of giving have now transferred to the New Testament believers. So he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the reason I wanted to read that verse to you tonight was just to get us in our mind, the church, the storehouse. The church, the storehouse. And then if you'll turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, let me read you a verse. Now, I understand, don't panic, I understand the context in which the verse is written. But I want to make an application because there is a principle here that we can apply to church finance and how it's operated. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. By the way, is he speaking to the church at Corinth? He's talking to the church, right? All right, here's what he says. Let all things be done decently and in order. Let all things be done decently and in order. He said everything that's orchestrated within the church ought to be done in such a manner that it holds character and also retains its integrity. And that's where leadership comes in to make sure that that's what happens through the ministries of the Trinity Baptist Church. So I want to finish up tonight and talk to you about the practical matters of God's system of church finance. Now, Father, meet with us now as we finish up the study in which, Lord, you've allowed us to begin. And we've learned so many different things. And, Lord, we don't want to take a thing for granted. We realize that what we're trying to learn tonight is to get in on the giving program of God and how to be blessed, not just as a church, but as an individual as well. And so I pray that you'd help us, teach us now. We pray that when we leave this place, our hearts will be encouraged, that we might have gained understanding and knowledge from your word in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I want to first of all say that God is a God of decency. God is a God of order. There's without question that you'll find it even from the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, you will find all the way through the first chapter of Genesis that God was a God of decency and order in which He created things. And so we know that God is a God of decency and order, and that that principle and that attribute of God and these attributes of God have now transferred to us here today, and He wants those things to be done in the church that hold the integrity and character of God. Everything He has ever done, church, or said, had a purpose and had a structure to it. God didn't give us the commandments and give us instructions about how to organize the financial structure, the giving process, the distribution process. He didn't give us those things and then not explain how they're to be done and how they're to be appropriated. You see, there is also, this also includes the administration and the ministry relation. Now, if you'll remember from Sunday night, that the believer is to be involved in two types of giving. Those two types of giving, one is the tithe, and we've learned that the tithe tends more toward the administration, which is our duty, right? It's our duty because of what Christ has done for us, how He has provided for us, cared for us. It is our duty to give a tenth now of all of our increase. Now, I want to go ahead and clear something up right now, just so that, just for the record, all right? Understanding that what you take home is not what you made. Do you understand? Okay, what you take home is not what you made. What you made is what reflects on your tax forms. That's what you made. That's what you tithe off of. Okay, listen, God gets His off the top before anything else comes out. Okay, that's only the right thing to do, right? But listen, because if you allow Uncle Sam to have his first and you give God second, that's not first fruits. Okay, so you give God his and you tithe off of everything based on your gross income. Now, that's just for the record. Now, I want to say this, church, tonight. God is not going to abandon His system of finance for the church just because some do not participate in it. Now, remember we learned that 20% of the congregation give 80% of the finances to finance the administration and the ministry relations of the church. So 20% of the congregation, the membership of a church, give 80% of the finances. That means that leaves 80% to give only 20% of what is given to the church. Now, let me just review some things real quick that we've learned, and I'll move on in and give you some things that I think will be a blessing and help us tonight. First of all, we learned that the fall of man, right at the very beginning, we learned that the fall of man caused us some major problems, right? One of the major problems that it caused us, other than sin, is it created in us a taking mentality. Prior to the fall, man seemed to have much more of a giving mentality. Because God put him in the Garden of Eden, God said, dress it, keep it. He brought the animals, and what did Adam do? He gave them names, and whatever he called them, that's what they were named. And then God said, it's not good that man should be alone. He created a woman, and then, of course, things went that direction. Let me get off of that real quick. I wasn't going to say that, but it just came out. Now, the fall of man cast us into a taker's mentality. Amen. Happened right off the bat. Because if you'll remember, when God put Adam and Eve outside the garden, He put a cherub at the entrance of the garden to keep them from getting in and taking of the tree of life. Why? Because He knew sin brought on a taker's mentality. And the thing about it is, you know what you'll find out today? You'll find out that most of us have a taker's mentality. Most of us, what we're getting, and listen, and I'm not saying that we do it in evil with evil intent. We do it a lot of times and don't even realize we're doing it. We come and we take and we take and take. And listen, let me ask you to do something sometime. Go back home and sit down and think about how much the church and how much God through His church gives to you and how much then in turn you give to the church. And you know what you'll find? You'll find the same thing I did, that a lot of times we take more from the church, take more from God than we ever give back. Why? Because of the sin nature. So we learned that the fall of man cast man into a taker's mentality. The next thing that we've learned, if there's only two cures for it. The first cure is salvation. Salvation will take someone from a taker's mentality back to a giver's mentality. And then we know that even though a person that's saved can still be a taker, right? So in order for him to get in on God's finance plan for the church, he's going to have to be surrendered to the Lord's will and full of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, I find that people that walk with God don't have any problem giving to the things of God. People who do not walk with God seem to be the ones that take from God. And so there is a cure for this problem. One, salvation for the lost, for the saved. It's surrender. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit. The third thing that we've learned was this. Every believer is to participate in both types of giving. Both tithes, which remember, tends toward administration and duty. And offering, which tends toward ministry relation and, remember what that is? What is the offering? It's a sacrifice. God expects us not only to do our duty, but He expects us to go the second mile. He expects us to sacrifice for Him and give over and beyond the tithe which goes to administration and duty. The next thing that we learned was this. The tithes and offerings were to be brought in honor of the Lord, according to Proverbs chapter 3. And they were to be brought into the treasury of the house of God, which we learn is the church of the living God, 1 Timothy 3:15, or the storehouse. And they're to be brought there for distribution toward administration and ministry relation. Now, church, we know what the tithe is. That's 10%. But many of you may ask, okay, preacher, what is an offering? Well, the Bible calls it free will. In other words, there is no percentage put on what an offering is. You give as God leads. And as things are presented, we give toward those things that God leads us to give toward. That's the reason when somebody says, preacher, what should I give to missions? Sorry, I can't tell you that. What should I give to the bus ministry? I can't tell you that. Those are offerings. Those are free will. Those are as the need is there, the bus ministry, the missions ministry, etc., etc., etc. That's what we give as God leads. Now, let me give you some giving principles here that, and then I'm going to give you some practical things. First of all, let me say this. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Here's a principle. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. Now, I want you to listen. That doesn't mean, like most of our government officials believing, in taking and taking from the rich to give to the poor. Amen. Hey, listen, God says that, you know what? If I have blessed you more, then I expect more from you. And we are to give proportionately. And so he says, for to whom much is given, much is required. Now, so if you looked at it on a numbers basis and a money basis, God would expect more from a millionaire than he would from most of us who are like thousandaires. Okay? So he would expect more. Why? Because he's blessed more. And he would expect more from him as far as giving toward the offerings and toward, obviously, the things of God. James chapter 4 and verse number 17 says this, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is, help me out, to him it's what? Now listen, that means that if I'm instructed from the Bible and I know what God's system of finance is, and I know that my tithe is for the administration, it's my duty, and I know that my offering is for ministry relations, that's my sacrifice, and the scripture says if I don't do it, because by the way, folks, it's not arbitrary. If I don't do it, then according to the Bible, I didn't write it, folks, I'm just reading it. He said, if I know to do it and I don't participate in it, I'm sinning. You say, man, it's getting harder every time. Well, folks, the thing about it is, if we know to do right, let's just do right. Why? Doesn't God deserve it? Doesn't God deserve our love and affection? And so James said that just plain and simple. If you know to do right, you don't do it, it's sin. To whom much is given, much is required. And then Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 says this. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. You see that word in Hebrews 13, verse 16, the word communicate? When you go check me out, and you can check me out. When you go check the word communicate there, it's the same word that you'll find that's normally used when it talks about giving. When it talks about giving of your finances, of your increase. And so Paul said, don't forget, it's good to communicate. He said, don't forget it, because with sacrifice, there it is, the offerings, he said, there it is, sacrifice. He said, by that God is well pleased. So now that we understand all of these smaller entities of the financial program of God, let me just give you some basic things that I want to present to you tonight, church, that I think will be a help and a blessing. Much of this you'll already know, but I want to explain it so that you'll be clear on how the church finances operate. First of all, I want to say this. Believers are to give systematically, consistently, and faithfully. Let me say it again. All believers are required of God to give systematically, consistently, and faithfully. Now, it is the church's, I believe, the church's responsibility to help its membership and those that are believers that attend that church to give systematically, to give consistently, and to give faithfully. So that is why, if you'll look in your pew in front of you, that is why you will see envelopes like this. These are offering envelopes. On those offering envelopes, you will see on there, there's a place for you to put your name and address, and there are multiple areas for places for you to give an offering. And then there's one column there that says tithes and offerings. Now let me explain something. You say, preacher, why does it say tithes and offerings right there? Because anyone who gives to the ministry or to the treasury of the church and does not designate it, it goes into the general fund. If it is not a designated offering, it goes into the treasury till, which goes out for the administration. Everybody with me? All right? So that's how that works. That's the reason it says tithes and offerings. Because we have a lot of people that give to that category that give way above their tithe. But it's not designated funds. So giving is to be simple, systematically, or consistently, and faithfully. And the church provides a way for you to do that through an offering envelope. Now let me say a couple of things about this. First of all, everything that is given that has your name on there is credited to your account for tax purposes if you choose to use it for such. If you don't choose to use it for such, that's your business. But we want to make sure that we have a record of every person and what they give to the things of God and into the treasury of the house of God, and we keep records, and it's credited to your account. These envelopes that I hold in my hand, every time take the tithes and offerings of the people of God, we hold on to this envelope. This envelope, we don't take it out and have a shredder right there and go, we're not shredding these up. We hold on to these. Why would you think the church would hold on to these? Because, you know, the thing about it is sometimes issues come up, don't they? And sometimes people call you on the carpet about what you gave to the church. And guess what? The church keeps these for an extended period of time. You would have to check with the financial office. I think we've got some as far back as 7-8 years of tithing envelopes that we store in case issues come up and we've got the records of what you've given to the church. So the envelopes are held in security for future references if needed. And then I want to say this to you and help you to understand this. Giving is not public knowledge. Giving is not public knowledge. Now, you say, preacher, I want to go back to the days when they gave when Jesus did. Well, listen, do you know that some churches do that? They sit the offering plates up here and you have to bring it up here and put it in there. You ever seen that done? I have. They sit the offering plates up here and when they said it's time for the offering, you have to get up and come give it. Amen. Y'all want to try that one service? But some people do. But that, you know, that's what they did. And you know where they get the principle from? Remember when Jesus took his disciples to the temple and they were watching the people give and they saw the little widow put her little two mites in it? Watching. Jesus is watching. That's where they get that principle from. Now, I don't think you have to do that, but if some people want to do that, they can. But giving is not public knowledge. Listen to me. And your giving is never discussed in the financial office with anybody for any reason. The only reason that a giving of any person in this church is ever discussed by the financial secretary, it's with the pastor, and that's when we have people in leadership who stop giving and tithing. And that's when it's a no-no. All right, so that's when she says, preacher, we got. You might want to check on this. Hadn't seen a tithe envelope come in from such and such person. We're going on 3 months now. Okay, and a person in place of leadership, and then I have to contact them or set up an appointment with them, bring them in, say, listen, what's going on? Because if you're not going to tithe and give to the Lord's house, then you can't live, you can't do have a place of leadership. Now, listen, you know, you can still be a member here, but you just won't be able to have a place of leadership. Because I'd be a hypocrite if I let you have a place of leadership and you don't even give to the things of God. Amen, preach. I'll amen myself right there. All right? So the church provides a way for the believer to give systematically and consistently and faithfully. So, again, the tithes right here where it says tithes and offerings, those are directed toward administration. They're held in what we call the general account, and then any undesignated funds that come in also are held in the general account for the administration of the needs of the church. And then, listen, this is what you need to, some of you may need to understand is this. The tithes of God's people make up the core of the church budget. The tithes of God's people make up the core of the church budget. And so the core of the church budget, which includes things like paying the utilities, it includes things like just basic upkeep, office supplies, equipment purchases, insurance, staff salary packages, all of those things fall under the administration portion of the finance portion of the local church. And so your tithe goes toward the administration portion, or it makes up the core basis for which we set the church budget for the year. And we've got a church budget meeting coming up here in just a few weeks. I'll meet with the deacons and advisory board, and we'll set the budget for 2013 based on what the people of God give, which is their duty. Now, the thing about it is, like I said, we like air conditioning. Remember, we already voted on that. We don't have to vote on that again. We voted on air conditioning. We voted on padded pews. We voted on lights. We like that, right? Y'all want to come by candlelight? Say, no, preacher, we like these lights. We like these pews. We like air conditioning. We like heat in our air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter. We like all of that stuff. You know what? I'm for it, aren't you? But you know where that's going to be paid for? It's going to be paid through the tithes of God's people, which make up the core of the church budget. Now, let me mention one other thing here, and that is offerings are designated funds for ministry relations. Now, let's go back to the offering envelope. And I'm not against you. If you want to pick one up and you're not familiar with it, you can take a look at it. But you'll see there, you got missions, building fund, bus ministry, benevolent fund, TBA, TBBC, Friend Day. There's even a place on there for special offering. If I could get more on there, which I think we can probably shrink these two down, I can get two more columns on there, we're going to do it. Now, what I'm saying is all of these would be considered free will offerings. I can't tell you what to give to the academy. I can't tell you what to give to the college or to the building fund or to the missions or to benevolent fund, because all of those are offerings that go to ministry relations. These are what would be considered sacrifices above your duty, which is your tithe. And so you give as God directs and as God leads. Now, their free will from the heart and because of the love of Christ, because you have a love for God. Listen now, and every cent, mark this down, every cent the people of God give and designate is deposited for that specific purpose alone. There is no other thing that comes out of that fund. In other words, whatever you designate for missions goes straight to missions. Whatever you designate for the buses goes straight to buses. Whatever you designate for the academy or ministry or bus ministry or benevolent goes straight to those ministries. I said it Sunday night, I'll say it again. For someone to take from one ministry that's designated funds to give to another is stealing. And that's not right. That's misappropriating funds. Now, the thing about it is you wouldn't want the bank doing that with your accounts, right? So, you know what? We're not going to do that here. So, whatever's designated goes. For instance, let me give you a perfect illustration. When we take special love offerings for speakers, you know, if we, whatever you give, if it's $1,000, guess what the speaker gets? $1,000. If it's $800, or $809.22, guess what he gets? $809.22. He gets every cent that the people of God give. You know what? That's only the right thing to do. You know, the preacher doesn't get there and say, man alive, they gave up. I don't know if that sermon was worth that much. Play, I'm going to skim a little bit off the top. Put that in the bus ministry. You know what that is? That's stealing. And you know what? If I ever did that, you know what you ought to do? You ought to drop kick me through the goalpost of heaven. Amen? Because that's wrong. And so what I'm saying is everything that's given, when it's given toward free will offerings and designated, goes to that particular fund. And it's used for either evangelism, promotion, building, education, whatever the case may be, it's used for that specific purpose. So what I'm saying is every believer is to give systematically, consistently, and faithfully, and I believe it's the church's responsibility to provide so that you can get it done. That's what the offering envelopes are for. That's what the designations are for. That's why we have that offering envelope. All right? The next thing I want us to know quickly is this. Membership is informed weekly and on our giving status. How many of you pick up an announcer every week? Okay? Most everybody does. Oh, that's great. Hope. Well, look here. We can cut this down. Only five people pick. We only have to order five next week. Now, normally all of our announcers are gone, okay, from Sunday. So on every announcer, which is our, you can call it announcer. That's what we call it. Or you can call it a bulletin, whatever you want to call it. But over on the back, we have what we call a weekly summary report. And it is available, church, to you to see where the tithes or the offerings and everything that was given by the people of God, where it came in. It's on the back right there. Listen, we're not trying to hide anything. I don't think they hid it in the Old Testament. Don't think they hid it in the New Testament. And you know what? Don't think Trinity Baptist Church ought to hide anything. So there it is. It's every week on the back of your announcer. Every member is informed weekly of what the giving status is. No secrets about financial situation. And by the way, we always and have always, ever since I've been on staff at this church, have always had an open book policy in our offices. But I want to say this. It's open book only for sincere people. And I'm going to go a step further here, and you can like this or whatever you want. You don't have to, but if you don't, I'm sorry. But you know what? I don't think I have to have an open book policy for somebody that's stealing from God and not giving their tithes and offerings. Because if you come and say, I want to see the books, first thing I'm going to do with the financial secretary, I said, check their giving record. They said, they didn't give anything. Sorry, denied. I don't think you have that right. So what I'm saying to you is that if a person is sincere, we have an open book policy. If they're taken from God, we have a closed book policy. Amen. You say, I don't agree. That's okay. We don't have to agree. I'm just telling you. All right? That's just the way it is. And I think that's just the right thing to do. And I think it's, and by the way, you want anybody, listen, you want anybody snooping in your checkbook? Won't somebody give me your PIN number? Let me check your account out. I can go right online. Check out how much money you got in your account. Say, oh boy, we can give more than this. See, you wouldn't want anybody doing that, no, would you? Okay, so what I'm saying is, I think it's just right and fair. All right, so the membership is informed, and it's on the back of the announcer. The next thing I want to help you with is this. Here at our church, we have financial checks and balances. For instance, tithes and offerings, if you'll notice, they are received publicly. I don't set a box somewhere outside the door or say, listen, if you want to give, put it in the box out here as you walk out. No, we do it in a public manner. Why would we do it in a public manner? Because we want to make sure that you see that we're doing everything above board. Remember we talked about integrity? We talked about character? That's what that is. So we do it publicly for that very reason. And all of the offerings are counted. Many of you may not know this, but I'll just tell you that all of our offerings are counted by count teams and double counted for accuracy. Okay, so we have count teams. Listen, I don't have one guy in there counting money by himself. That ain't going to happen. Okay? Boy, I'm telling you. I wouldn't do that for a number of reasons. First of all, I'm not going to give the devil an opportunity to get a foot in the door. Okay, he already does enough without us opening the door for him. So all offerings are counted. They're counted by count teams. They're double counted. No church officer, listen to me, no church officer is ever alone at any time with the church finances, ever. That's the reason you can ask her. She's in the nursery tonight. Listen, one of the things that Mrs. Waits is a stickler on, that when the finances, when people, she makes sure she's never left here alone, ever. And why? Because you know what? We are to abstain from all appearance of evil, right? And so a lot of times she'll come and say, preacher, you know, is there people going to be here? She wants to make sure that anytime she's dealing with the financial records that she's never alone with it. And that's the integrity. We try to keep the integrity of our office. And then we have elected officials, the treasurer, assistant treasurer, who are responsible for the oversight of the counting and the collection and the deposit. So we have checks and balances in place. And I want to say this to you, church, so that you'll know. Neither pastor nor any staff member is involved in any count team or collection or counting process. No, the pastor nor staff member. All are hand selected either through deacons or advisory board members, and they are the ones that count, and we just do that simply for the integrity of the process there. And these men, along with the designated deacons, pastor, sign checks for administration and ministry relation. And listen, I promise you, talk to some of these guys that sign checks around here. And they'll, you know what they'll say? They'll say, why don't you put your name on the election list next year? When you say, listen, you sit down and sign enough checks with everything that we've got going out with ministry relations and administration and stuff, you'll get writer's cramp. You sign so many. Now the thing about it is, but they're never left alone. They're signed and everything is over and above board. Let me give you one last thing, all right? And that is the authority in distribution of the funds. The authority in distribution of the funds. Now, church, let me say right here that the pastor and deacons and advisory board meet annually to set a budget based on the tithes of God's people. Every item is addressed. And those of you that's ever been in a budget meeting can nod your head because it is a tedious process to go through. Because every aspect of ministry is examined and then the budget is set for that particular item based on the giving and based on the records that we have from that situation. For instance, like we'll sit down and examine the utilities, like say for the electric bill. And if you saw all the money that goes up from this church for the electric bills a month, you'd be amazed at what we pay for electricity. But what I'm saying is we take a look at that. We look at all of the various things from each building, all that's broken down. That's the reason that Mrs. Waits is already beginning to have nightmares. She's waking up in the middle of the night with nightmares thinking about all the information I'm about to need and for the deacons and advisors for me to set the budget. Because we examine everything. Every penny is accounted for. And so we have pastor and deacons and advisory board that set the budget. The next thing was this. And that is the pastor is then the administrator of the budget on behalf of the leadership and the membership. Once the budget is set, then it's my job as pastor to administrate that budget. And let me tell you something. Ask any staff member, ask any secretary about it. Because I examine it. And I make sure who spent this, who gave you authority to spend this. You say, man, alive, that's kind of micromanaging, isn't it? Yeah, you can call it something like that. You know why? Because I think that every cent that's spent of God's money ought to be accounted for. And I think that, listen, folks, you can't have four and five heads. You have four and five heads of something, you've got a monster. Somebody has to be the one that designates. Every week, just like this morning, I had a stack of bills this tall on my desk. And I go through every single bill. I examine every single credit card purchase that's made for the church, for whatever the cause is. I make sure the receipts are there. And listen, if there's one thing, staff guys, ask any staff guys, what do I harp on constantly? Receipts. I want receipts. I want to see the receipt and where the money was spent. And they know it. And they know it, and I harp on them. And why? Because it's my job to make sure that the tithes, which tends to administration, which is duty, which goes and makes up the core basis for the budget, it's my job to make sure it's administrated and make sure that it's appropriated in the right place. The next thing is then, from time to time, there will be large ticket items that need to be addressed here at our church. And those items are brought before the deacons, and then recommendations are made and voted on in a public forum. And we keep minutes. Brother Richard Muse is the secretary of our deacon board, and he keeps the minutes. And all of these are filed in the church offices. And if you want to see any of the minutes of any of the deacons' meetings, all you got to do is contact the office, and we have them for you. And so all of these things are there for public view, if need be. Why? Because everything has to be done above board. Everything has to be done decently and in order. And then from time to time, if you'll know, that things will be brought before the church and voted on. Remember when we voted on about the missionaries and sending Christmas money to the missionaries? We voted on that. Why? Because missions money is designated money. I don't have the right to say, okay, I'm just going to take it and give it to the missionary. Why? Because you're the ones that gave it. And so that's the reason I came and said, listen, we'd like to do this. What is your wish? Hey, vote. Okay, it's done. See? And so that's the way. Why? Because everything's to be done decently in order. Folks, listen to me. This ministry is not a dictatorship. Okay, that's not what this is. This is about Jesus Christ. And don't get me wrong now. I keep my thumb on everything that I possibly can keep my thumb on what's going on. But there's a difference between a dictator and an administrator. All right? Big difference. I'm an administrator, not a dictator. And so all I'm saying to you tonight is simply this, that God has a system of finance. And the church collectively and the leadership of the church are the distributors of the funds which come from the treasury of the house of God. And each one of our deacons gets one of these weekly summary reports that shows the total breakdown, the average giving, shows the monies and funds that are in all of their church accounts. This is only privy to those in places of leadership. And everything we try to do here is done with integrity and character in mind. So, church, my entire purpose in bringing you these messages, these last three services, was simply this. I understand that we have a taker's mentality. And it's very evident, because all you got to do is go stick your head in the nursery. You know what those kids do? They take all the time. Am I right, Mrs. Raley? They're takers. They don't want to share. You give them some goldfish in a cup. Are you kidding me? Get your own goldfish. I'm giving you any out of my cup. You see, why? Because it's the nature of man. This is mine. God, don't you understand? I earned this money. He's like, yeah? Don't you understand? Lord, I've got to do this with it. Yeah? And you can go through this whole long list of all these things that God's going to say, yeah, I already know all of that. But you got to understand, you're breathing my air. What if I want it back? Because if I want it back, you ain't alive. And you're not going to have to worry about paying any bills. You're not going to have to worry about a car payment, a house payment, or a cruise, or a vacation, or whatever it is. You don't have to worry about that because you're not going to be alive. So see, we have a duty, church, and we have a sacrifice. And God says we're to be participating in both. And it is the church's obligation to help its membership to give systematically, consistently, and faithfully to the things of God. I want you to bow your heads tonight. Thank you for your attention and your patience. Now, who can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high.